Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with the executive editor of Newsbusters, your host, Tim Graham.
Hello and welcome to the home of the 24/7 media monitors. We're the people who could easily define Brian Stelter's newly coined term, nerd immunity.
If we're not going to reach herd immunity in the U.S., we need to reach nerd immunity. Yes, nerd immunity. Enough of us have to be well-informed enough to safely come out of the pandemic coma. Nerd immunity. I guess it's whatever the opposite of foxitis is.
Now, if it's Sunday, Stelter is attacking Fox News. It's what he does. America is suffering from foxitis, fox mania. This is apparently a disease that you diagnose when CNN competes in the ratings like the 1 in 15 Jacksonville Jaguars.
If there's ever, a reason to be depressed,
sounds like a Tom
that would
Coughlin.
Be it.
Stelter feels sick when he reads headlines like, Tucker Carlson Tonight is the most watched show on basic cable.
Because he's clearly not responsible enough to have a show that purports to pretends to be news.
No wonder he's the new Trump.
What is he talking about?
Friday night on the Don Lemon Show, CNN Tonight, Stelter made a big point of reporting how Congresswoman Liz Cheney was mentioned 300 plus times each on CNN and MSNBC. And Fox News, that blight on the nation, mentioned her only 48 times.
I counted more than 300 mentions of Cheney on CNN, more than 300 on MSNBC, too, but fewer than 50 on Fox. So is the GOP in disarray? Well, no, not if Fox is your reality.
Using the TV Eyes service, EYES, that's basically a closed captioning count. So it's not a perfect transcript, so it might be a little off, but we'll just accept it. The question is this, which one of these is more newsworthy? Which one's more the news channel? Does doing this story more make you a better news channel, or does doing the story less mean you're a better news channel? Or do we define news on who it helps? Well, the Liz Cheney story is helping the Democrats now, and therefore, that's big news. That shouldn't be how we define news. Both parties have splits. Both parties have more moderate and much less moderate sectors. But as usual, they're always singling out the Republicans. They're always the ones that are damaged. They're always the ones that are in danger. Or, of course, they're the ones that are endangering the country.
The GOP agenda, as seen on Fox, is pretty clear right now. Minimize the riot fallout. Minimize Liz Cheney. Maximize any attack on the Democrats. And maximize culture war stories. All of it, of course, Don, with an eye toward 2024.
We can play this game, too. Did Brian Stelter try to do a count of how many times CNN is focused on Andrew Cuomo? I don't think so. The screen on this Lemon Show segment read, Fox propaganda in overtime turning Liz Cheney into a pariah. Now, is Brian really so out of touch with conservatives that he doesn't realize that CNN and MSNBC and the rest with their 300 plus mentions a week are the ones turning Liz Cheney into a pariah? She's out there writing guest editorials for the Washington Post, and the Washington Post puts out its opinion section email and puts her on top and says, everybody needs to read this. Don't we understand that that's going to also make her a pariah in the Republican Party being celebrated by the liberal media? Team Cheney on this one doesn't seem to get how becoming a hero to CNN is not going to make you popular in Wyoming or in the Republican Party in all 50 states. You can completely agree that Donald Trump's refusal to accept his defeat in November has made a mess, and that the riot wouldn't have happened if Trump hadn't drawn a big crowd on that day that the Electoral College met. And despite all that, you could still think this strategy of Liz Cheney is not a winner. She's being hailed as a profile encouraged by Nancy Pelosi. And now Cheney's setting up the media to spike on the Republican Party as a party of traitors.
There's something bigger at stake here than just
as partisanship. You know, we all this talk about civil war. I think back, you know, Ulysses S. Grant at the start of the Civil War said there are but two parties now, traitors right. and patriots. I'm afraid, Chuck, that we're increasingly coming back to that time.
Here we go again. You suggest Ilhan Omar's not very American, and the MSNBC and CNN types go wild. But smearing the entire Republican Party as a nest of traitors? Eh. PolitiFact won't lift a finger to correct that. Over on CBS, Congressman Adam Kinzinger of Illinois was singing the media's favorite song, Republicans Are Doomed! Or they're melting, melting like the Wicked Witch.
Oh, my world, my world!
Or, as long as we're in movie analogies, they're drowning on a big ocean liner.
I mean, right now it's basically the Titanic. We're like, you know, in the middle of this slow sink, we have a band playing on the deck telling everybody it's fine. And meanwhile, as I've said, you know, Donald Trump's running around trying to find women's clothing and get on the first lifeboat.
So the Republicans are Titanic and Adam Kinzinger is what? Kate Winslet?
You're so stupid, Rose.
Maybe the media can be Leonardo DiCaprio. We all know they'd love to think that they're the king of the Now, Adam Kinzinger is the same guy who advised the Never Trumper Republican in the Texas special election a couple weeks ago for Ron Wright's seat. This is the guy that came in with 3% of the vote. Genius. You know, maybe Adam Kinzinger shouldn't be judge numero uno of how to win elections. It should be obvious that the media and the Democrats, the media Democrat complex, aren't really interested in figuring out, let's help the Republicans win. The Cheney fight is their hope to split the party into warring factions and then dominate at the polls. These people are not going to focus on so-called courageous Democrats like Joe Manchin of West Virginia or Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona, the ones that ruin it for them when they want to pass something with 50 Democrats and no Republicans. Those people aren't going to be heroes. Those people aren't going to get 300 mentions because they know how much leftist Democrats hate Manchin and Sinema. They think of them as posers. Liz Cheney, though, she's a hero. Over at National Review, Jim Garrity was writing that no one else in the GOP House caucus wants to see endless new chapters of a MAGA Trump versus Cheney never Trump fight from now until the midterms. He says it's really, really difficult to be a maverick against the rest of your party and try to be a leader of that same party. He said John McCain proved that. It's the same dynamic. The media adores that maverick Republican. Back in 2000, John McCain, running for president, called George W. Bush's machine the Death Star. And the youngsters who don't remember that are like, what? Now George W. Bush was Darth Vader? What's Trump then? Well, these people are always, whoever the central Republican figure is somehow a villain. George W. Bush was a war criminal that needed to be like in prison in Guantanamo or something. And now, of course, he's Mr. Reasonable because that's the way these guys roll. Liberals have pointed out that Liz Cheney's voting record in the House is much more conservative than Elise Stefanik, the Trump loyalist who's expected to take her place in the House leadership. Look, fact check true. I'm sure Liz Cheney's voting record in the next 2 years will still be conservative. But there's a difference between your votes and your image on the telly. TV newsers don't want a rhetorical conservative on their air. What they want is a quote-unquote courageous dissenter. They're not interested in any focus on how Liz Cheney votes on the quote-unquote infrastructure bill. They want to use her to create a civil war and to call it a civil war and to make trouble, what they call good trouble. They'll wear their hats and their buttons that say good trouble. We'll be back with more after this.
MRC-store.com.
Pro-gun, pro-life, pro-God, and pro-America? Welcome to the Pro Shop.
MRC-store.com.
T-shirts, hoodies, goodies, and much more.
MRC-store.com.
The only store that always offers conservatives more.
That's MRC-store.com.
Log on, log in, and help the Media Research Center while shopping for great gear today.
MRC-store.com.
So, monitoring the news a little bit over the weekend, if there's one thing we know, it's that MSNBC host Ali Velshi doesn't know what socialism is.
As an economics guy, I'm troubled by the continued false narrative about socialism. Socialism is a system in which the government owns the means of production, meaning actual ownership of factories, hospitals, even machinery used to produce goods and services that people consume. Biden has not promised nor carried out anything that remotely resembles socialism.
Socialists play this clever game where they define socialism as basically communism. It's not socialism until the government owns everything. They look at Nordic countries like Norway or Sweden and Denmark, Finland, and they see that's not socialist, that's a quote-unquote expanded welfare state which provides a high level of security for its citizens.
My view of democratic socialism builds on the success of many other countries around the world who have done a far better job than we have in protecting the needs of their working families, their elderly citizens, their children, their sick, and their poor.
Earth to liberals, when conservatives say America is going socialist, they're thinking of Norway or Finland or Denmark or Canada. Sometimes they might be thinking of Venezuela, which is even more of a basket case than the average. But then Bernie Sanders loves those places. He was all fond of Hugo Chavez. Probably likes Evo Morales in Bolivia. He liked Castro's Cuba. He honeymooned in the Soviet Union. I wonder if Ali Velshi would say, well, the Soviet Union, that wasn't really socialism. Or, as we used to hear in the 80s, that's not communism. Communism in its ideal state is perfect equality for everyone. The way these people try to define terms, you just have to be really careful about
what democratic socialism means to me.
Now, after complaining about Ronald Reagan saying government is the problem when he was inaugurated in 1981, Ali Velshi concluded that Republicans, quote-unquote, lying about Biden's socialist agenda is just weak tea.
Americans are warming up to the idea of more government, especially during a once-in-a-generation pandemic when a powerful and effective government could have ensured America had enough PPE, imposed mask mandates, accelerated testing, and boosted vaccine production. All things that President Biden ended up doing once he assumed office. In fact, a recent NBC News poll found that 55% of Americans say the government should do more to solve the country's problems.
Speaking of weak tea, this same Ali Velshi had no shame at all just 10 months ago in the Democrat lie that the government under Republicans defines the term fascist because it was actually trying to stop unrest in Portland. Left-wing protesters can try to set fire to a government building with people in it, and somehow the Republicans are the enemy. Ali Velshi was one of many journalists that welcomed Madeleine Albright, as she did an entire Fascism is Already Here book tour. That's what MSNBC is. It's DNC TV. These people deny Black Lives Matter is a Marxist group, even after the organizers identified themselves as Marxists. This is where we can circle back like Jen Psaki and repeat. The media wants to pretend there's not a left-wing extreme in the Democratic Party. The media want to pretend Joe Biden is a centrist. The media want to pretend the squad is just a glorious Mount Rushmore of woke. You cannot count on this media to do a proper job of ideological classification. They are not the referees of ideology. They are not the people who can tell you who's a conservative, who's a liberal, who's a fascist, who's a socialist, who's a centrist. You can't trust them. The Washington Post had a story sort of looking at where the Democrats are and that there is a potentially nasty primary for governor of Pennsylvania. Congressman Connor Lamb is looking at the race. The Washington Post says he's an avowed centrist. Huh? Obviously, you can go over to the American Conservative Union website and look at his average voting score. According to the American Conservative Union, Connor Lamb has a lifetime voting score of 9% out of 100. This is how the Washington Post and their allies in the media define a centrist or a moderate. 9%. Now, do we think somebody who votes 91% of the time conservative would be called a centrist? I mean, I suppose maybe Liz Cheney gets a 91 and they're kind of pretending she's a moderate. The whole point here is people who are just reading the media, who are not sophisticated about how ideology works, are really going to be miseducated and misinformed by this media. You wouldn't trust these people to classify the animals in the zoo, where the gorillas would be elephants and the rhinos would be the hippos. But we did start this podcast by talking about Don Lemon, and somehow we've returned to Don Lemon. He doesn't know which zoo animal is which, if you don't remember that one. Google Nick Fondacaro and Don Lemon and rhinoceros or something. This is why you come to NewsBusters. Once, twice, 24 times a day. Thanks for checking in.